Welcome to the June edition of BBRO Beatcast. I'm Francesca Broom, your host and knowledge exchange manager for BBRO. The months of May and June are often filled with events, and I'm sure most of you have or will be spending some time off farm. We've been doing the same, and I dragged Professor Mark Stevens away from the lab to attend the Suffolk show. However, as you'd expect, it was a bit of a busman's holiday with a lot of questions regarding crop issues. So, Mark, here we are at Suffolk Show. It's a great hubbub about us. Maybe due to the rain we've just had, so driving everybody undercover. But it's been a good day, hasn't it? And we've seen lots of growers. So just tell me, you know, why do you think it's important for BBRO to get involved in this type of thing?
Afternoon, Ches. It's been a good day so far. We have met quite a few growers from the local area. Always good to talk to people because every week is changing at the moment in the field, so there's lots to talk about on day-to-day issues like aphids and nematodes and impact of weather, as we can always talk about. But it's also an opportunity to promote some of the work and research we're doing and discuss the values of that, and also talk about issues on farm that may actually drive some of the future work that we do as well.
The conversation has been slightly different this year than what we expected, because at the start of the year we were really concerned about aphids, and we obviously still are, but the impact of the weather, negative though it might feel, has actually been to our benefit, hasn't it?
Yeah, so if you do look back and decisions, particularly over the virus yellows forecast, given just how warm it was over the winter, were that we were anticipating to see early aphids and a big threat. And that materialised. We were having aphids flying in March, but what you can't predict is what's going to happen in season. And the last few weeks, we've had some really heavy downpours and prolonged wet periods, and that is suppressing aphid activity, which is good news for growers. And this season had all the hallmarks of 2020, but if we all remember 2020, it was COVID, but also it was a very warm, dry spring, and 2024 now is very different to that. So it will hopefully suppress aphids and we won't see the levels of virus. But there are hot spots and we continue to be very vigilant as we go through the next few weeks.
And although that is brilliant for us, obviously the weather has brought its penalty to the crop as well, hasn't it? We've had a few people that have had crops washed away with the heavy downpours, and obviously there's been a few more problems with aphthomyces and other things within the crop, isn't there?
Yeah, so wet, warm conditions do favour certain things. Aphthomyces, we're starting to see Beetsis nematode coming in to samples in the plant clinic. We've also got free-living nematodes. We've also had weather, direct weather impacts, like you say, fields being washed out, but also we've also started to see a bit of hail damage in one or two locations. Some of these heavy downpours have led to beet plants being shredded, which is not good news.
But and a lot of people confuse that with pest damage as well.
Unless it's so severe, it just takes all the leaves off. But the good side of, though, with all that moisture and temperature, the crop is growing in many instances very quickly and going through the growth stages. So although a lot of it, the crop went in April and it was late, it's starting to make up for it. And some of the comments we've had today have been around, fantastic plant establishment, all the seeds have emerged. And ultimately, if you don't have a plant, you don't have a crop. And clearly that is going to drive, hopefully, some decent yields later in the season.
And you've been at the NFU Sugar Hour earlier. What were the questions like from there?
Yeah, so we went and joined. Aphids and virus clearly on people's minds. And strategies going forward. What's in the pot for the future, the areas that we're working on, but also just talking topical issues, weather, and the wet weather issues of nematodes and aphthomyces.
And obviously we're a little bit late when it comes to dealing with nematodes now, but is there anything that growers can be doing?
So bearing that in mind, if it's Beetsis nematode, you can select a variety with Beetsis nematode tolerance. If it's free-living nematodes and you have an issue, then the option is to use NemGuard which BBRO has worked on, and it's there to be used, and that will tackle those free living nematodes, the longidoids and the trichodoids that can be an issue for some.
And are we too late to be using NemGuard now?
Yeah, it goes in at sowing, so it goes in the applicator. So yeah, but just worth bearing that in mind for future years. If you are, you know, if your samples are coming into the plant clinic, you know, soil pests and free living nematodes, if we do pick that up, then it's worth considering it for the future.
And we've often said we believe there is a much bigger problem, particularly at BCN, than we know. We quote a figure of 25%, but it could be much higher. So really it should be up to growers to get out and just pull the odd root and have a look.
And now we're into June, and if you've got poor patches within fields, one of the reasons could be Beatrice nematode. And the one thing that's easy to spot at the moment is that the female cysts on the root are white. So carefully pull them up and have a look. And if you can see white cysts, and we've had several examples come into the plant clinic over the last week, and that's exactly what you can see. So always inspect, always check.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then reflect on that for future seed selection.
Yeah. And although we've been here today, it's been quite nice that we haven't had growers turning up with bags of samples for you. So,
But it's still a chance. So there's always a chance for a Tesco carrier bag turning up and saying, what's wrong with this beet moth? Just remember that BBRO has adopted a new form for plant clinic. If you've got the beet review that's just come in the last few weeks, on the front page, you don't even have to open it or turn the pages, you can scan the QR code, and that will take you straight through to the new JOT form that we're using to try and make sure that we get all the information that we need to hopefully then make a diagnosis.
And once you've opened that link, then you might as well save it to your phone for future use.
Exactly, Ches.
Yeah, thank you ever so much for your time, Mark, and hopefully you'll enjoy the rest of your time at the Suffolk Show.
Thank you, Ches. Looking forward to the rest of the afternoon, and let's hope the rain stays away.
Thank you.
The Suffolk Show theme for this year was promoting agricultural careers to young people, so we were particularly pleased to see that they chose to showcase sugar beet with a brilliant display of machinery and thought-provoking commentary. This was further enhanced by British Sugar's mini factory showing the journey from beet to sugar, for which they won the trophy for the best agricultural educational stand. Well done to all those involved. There were lots of interesting conversations throughout the day, but I couldn't help but eavesdrop on one involving Rob Childerhouse, the newest member of the NFU Sugar Board, Sam Williamson of NFU Sugar, Richard Smart from British Sugar, and of course, our very own Mark. We join as Rob explains some of the issues he has on farm.
Been done.
So Mark, really sorry to interrupt there, but I can see you're chatting away here to Robbie Childerhouse, who's a new member of the NFU Sugar Board, and I understand, Robbie, like many other growers, you've had a few issues in the field.
We've just been chatting about establishment of sugar beet. Last year I was hit particularly badly with blackleg, and this year I haven't seen the blackleg issues, but we're still seeing bare parts of row where we dig down and we're finding seed which is hasn't even cracked in many cases and just seems to have failed to germinate. So we're just trying to get to the bottom of what the problem could be.
Yeah, and then has the seed actually been there when you look down, or is it?
Oh, the seed is there, and you know we're light land, so we've got perfect seed beds, very good depth, lovely consolidation. Plenty of moisture this year, but for some reason the seeds just don't seem to be doing what they should do.
Yeah, and that's a problem we have seen elsewhere, isn't it?
So every season there's always something. That's the value of the plant clinic. Clearly what Robbie's described is disappointing, because the last thing we want to see is plant populations compromised. It's interesting, we have seen it several other places and others into the plant clinic. With a season where most of the crop has gone in slightly later, it hasn't wanted for moisture and hasn't really been affected by too much cold weather, and where you've got this sporadic issue, and talking with Richard Smart from British Sugar as well, and one or two other locations, it's really important to try and work out what it is, because if the seed has probably cracked and there's no evidence, what's happened to the seedling? And so are there soil pests? We have seen soil pests in the plant clinic quite a few occasions this year, but normally you see the root and the actual plant, you see the feeding damage sites. If you've got nothing to look at, that would suggest it's a larger pest, but from what Robbie said, he can't see any larger pests. So
I would say it's something in the field, whether it's a leather jacket or a slug or even an animal taking it, but it's important to try and investigate it, and I may have to go and have a look at it in the field directly. One of the simple things we can do, and I always suggest this to anybody, if you're losing plants and you're getting sporadic populations, just put some black polythene down, weight it down in the field for 2 or 3 days, and then peel it back and look what's underneath. Particularly with a bit of moisture this year, you'll be probably quite surprised what you do find. Anything that's in the soil tends to come up, and it'll be on between that layer of the polythene and the soil, and that can potentially rule things in or out, because it's often quite a challenge to work out exactly what it is a few weeks later when you've got plants all there. Probably the damage happened 3 or 4 weeks earlier, the plants disappeared, and so maybe the pest. So we need to get to the bottom of this. We need to give the likes of Robbie some support and others, but we also then need to try and work out what's going on so we can then recommend a solution or do things differently going forward.
So if you're going to add a black plastic straw mark, would you have to put a food source there?
It can help, so some bran or something. That sometimes I saw an example last week where somebody did that with a tile and put some bran in, and I've never seen so many slugs in all my life underneath that tile. That's an extreme situation. Reflects the season for two reasons. A, we haven't had a winter, so all the slugs have been able to hatch and you've got a high population, and the wet we've been having is just favouring populations up as well. So that may rule that in or out, but leather jackets, for example, also, lots of different species of leather jackets, they too tend to come up, but and they can take a few plants, but you normally see plants wilt and collapse, and you normally see them there, whereas from what we've heard, there's nothing there at all.
So it may not be much comfort to you, Robbie, but at least you know that we've seen small patches elsewhere. So will you be going out into the field and laying the black plastic, or we've got Richard Smart here from British Sugar. Are you going to be twisting the arms of one of your aquaculture managers to come out and do that for you?
Well, Richard has already been out and had a look, but yeah, certainly we'll. This is a reoccurring theme. Probably, yeah, the last 3, 4, 5 years, I've perhaps been a little less than 100% satisfied with establishment. As I say, on my type of soil, establishment should be more or less 100%. So I'm frustrated that there's something going on, and even if there's nothing I can do to remedy it going forward, at least if we know what the problem is, that'll be some comfort to try and...
And if we are able to identify, Robbie, maybe it's something as simple as just lifting the seed weight up, because if you are going to see one or two plants going, making sure you're trying to hit the target of that 100,000. Yeah. I don't know what seed rate you went out.
1.15, I believe. So
yeah.
Plant populations aren't terrible, but along the row we have got 50 centimetre, 100, you know, 100 metre gaps where there's very few plants.
There's nothing more frustrating to see gaps in
exactly.
fields when there should
exactly.
be plants.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that an always growers a lot when they see it, so we need to try and make sure we can get to the bottom of it.
And obviously, you know, here we are, Suffolk Show, and they always say the crop should be meeting down the road for Suffolk Show and across the road for Norfolk Show. So, Sam, what are you hearing from the growers that come in to see you? Are they all pleased with the way the crop is growing this year?
Yeah, it was nice to be joined by several beet growers this morning at NFU Sugar Hour, and I think that the sentiment was largely fairly positive. I think that in the round, people are pretty pleased with establishment, pretty pleased with emergence. It's nice to know that we've got some crops out there that are reaching that 12 true leaf stage, and hopefully the rest can catch up and Robbie can fill in the gaps before long.
So we've got a challenge there. So Robbie is the new NFU Sugar Board member. We'll be watching how you get on, and hopefully with the support of the BBRO, of British Sugar and NFU all together, we can see your population numbers grow.
Hopefully, yes.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
One of the benefits of attending shows is the opportunity to engage with growers that we haven't previously met. It's also a chance for them to talk about issues that they're seeing in the field, which, when you pick up more than one, can actually lead to a bigger conversation. And that was exactly what happened at the Suffolk Show, and we'll catch up with Pam Chambers of British Sugar, who followed up an inquiry.
So, Pam, it's a bit quieter today than yesterday standing in the Suffolk Show marquee. But I know you had quite a number of growers coming up talking to you about some herbicide issues. Did you manage to get to the bottom of those?
Yes, that's interesting. Cheers. That wasn't just at the Suffolk Show, but also via emails, WhatsApp, all the social media forms of communication these days. There's been some concerns actually from I would say all the beet growing areas. And yes, I think we have got to the bottom to it. We've had an extraordinary amount of rainfall this year in a very short space of time. I think it's related to probably programs that have contained Lenacil as a herbicide active. And it has in the past been included in formulated products in very small amounts as an activator. But we tend to use it now as a straight, mixing it into the herbicide program to boost sort of control on things like brassicas and polygonums that does give that a little bit of extra activity. But it also can be sometimes a bit hot on the sugar beet as well.
And does it make a difference about sort of the soil types that we're using it on?
Very good point, yes, because there is actually no warning on the current labels that we have, as far as I can see, for Lenacil products. Historically, I'm fairly sure that we used to have a warning about not using it on light soils and soils with quite a lot of stone or gravel in. And my advice now would be to growers to not use it on those soil types.
So you're advising, even in a dry spring, not to use it at all if you're on a light soil?
Well, I've always found it quite hot on light soils because it will hang around. And what we often then find is that perhaps after we then get some rain, you know, if we've been in a dry period, then that activity will kick in. And so I've always been quite wary about using it on very light soils. I would tend to use it more on the mineral soils, heavier bodied soils. As I say, there's no restriction on the label. And so some people may use it at a very low rate, but I would say treat it very much with caution.
OK, but then it has had some good effect on some of the heavier land where it's been used correctly, I assume.
Oh, yes, it can be very useful. And I think we need to be looking at actives like Lenacil for programmes as we're losing other actives. We need to understand. And actually, there's a BBRO herbicide trial that this year on the black fen and also on some very light breck soil, where BBRO's sort of standard program is Fen Medifam, Metametron and Ethafumisate. But in one of the treatments, that they took the Fen Medifam out and replaced it with Lenacil. And it's very striking on that light Breckland soil how it's been very, very hot and very tough on the crop.
Well, I'll have to make sure I come and join you on that trial at some point. We'll take a bit of video and pass it on to growers, and probably in the next couple of weeks or so.
I think BBRO have had quite a few visitors to their herbicide trials, and in particular some of the younger agronomists, and it's been really useful for them to see the strengths and weaknesses of different actives, but also, as we've said, Lenacil on that light land, how, you know, quite vigorous and hard that can be on the crop. And when you see something, that does stick in your mind, I think, a little bit more than perhaps just hearing it or reading it.
Yeah, well, thank you ever so much for that, Pam. It's nice to add to the information that we're giving. So,
yeah, I think perhaps just a quick word of caution. It won't always be Lenacil. There have been other issues as well this season that we've come across, various sort of wrong tank mixes or wrong ratio or different things. So, yeah, don't just assume it's the culprit in every situation.
Lovely. So thanks ever so much, Pam. I know you're probably going to want to warm up from the show because you've popped back again today, from what I understand. So thank you ever so much for giving me some time.
Thanks, Chase. Bye-bye.
If you're attending any more shows over the summer, please do keep an eye out for us. We will definitely be at the cereals event for the NFU Sugar Hour. We're at Morley Innovation Farm on the 20th of June. And we'll also be at the Raw Norfolk Show on the 27th and 28th. And they, just like Suffolk Show, are doing something on sugar beet in their discovery zone. So please do make a point of seeing how the industry is being portrayed. Just leaves me to wish you a happy, warm, sunny summer. And thank you very much for listening.